This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzer with Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He is a senior fellow. He and Tom Joslin and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal, a chronicle of the vast battlefield these many decades, from the Mediterranean to the Hindu Kush, with the jihadists in all their iterations. And one of them, since 2014, known as the Islamic State, is represented in many battle fronts. We're going to concentrate right now on the reports of ISIS in Afghanistan. They were always here for these last years. They call themselves the Khorasan province. It's romantic of them to come up with a name that attaches to something in the past and the future. However, their actions are bloody-minded and very focused on undermining the credibility of the Taliban. I have a report from CBS in these last hours. On nearly every street corner in every neighborhood in Afghanistan's capital, you'll find the Taliban. The militants are now the guardians of the city. While the Taliban's war with the U.S. may be over, the group faces another enemy called ISIS, ISIS-K. CBS News correspondent Tayyab and his team went for a ride with some of the Taliban fighters whose job it is to secure Kabul's streets. What goes on to present itself is that the Taliban is insecure in Kabul, in the capital city, having to do with what they regard as their enemy, ISIS. There have been bomb attacks these last weeks. Tom and Bill have reported on them, Jalalabad, Kunduz, and Kandahar, picking around different parts of the country. Bomb attacks that were associated with ISIS-K. The Taliban then communicates through its spokespeople that it is cracking down on the Taliban. It is making arrests. It is concentrating its forces, especially in Kabul, where there haven't been, to my knowledge, bomb attacks. But we have one other detail here, a twist. One of the suicide bombers, the attacks are at mosques, which is a concentration of Shia. So there's an excuse for the ISIS to think that they're attacking something that isn't the Pashtun, but a subset of Afghanistan, the Shia religionists. However, one of the suicide bombers was a Uyghur, or said to be a Uyghur. Remember, none of this is transparent. We don't have independent confirmation. Reuters is not being invited to the scene of the crime. So what we have is the statement by the Taliban that a Uyghur from Xinjiang, from westernmost China, was used in an attack at Kunduz. Bill, I come to you because increasingly this story is growing. Is it the media? Is it Europe? Is it the Taliban? Why is ISIS hanging around? And is there thinking anywhere that ISIS, like the Taliban, can hang on long enough to discomfort and then replace the regime? Because it regards the Taliban as nationalists.
John, the Islamic State Khorasan province, my assessment of it is it likely has thousands of fighters, but it currently controls no territory. I don't see any evidence or any indication that is threatening to control territory. And to me, that is the key indicator of how dangerous a group is. Right now, it can operate on the cellular level. We're not looking at an insurgency here. We're looking at a terrorist operation. Can it ramp up its activities? It's possible, but I estimate that it's unlikely. Again, the territorial issue matters and the state sponsorship issue matters. It doesn't have a state sponsor. There is no one who supports it, no government that supports the Islamic State. As bad as Pakistan and the Iranians are, they're not that crazy because the Islamic State isn't as pragmatic as groups like Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and other terrorist organizations that are willing to make deals in order to get what it needs. The Islamic State's way is my way or the highway. They will not work with states. This is the main criticism they have of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. So without those key drivers for an insurgency, I just don't see the Islamic State doing more than breaking things and killing people. But that weakens the Taliban, absolutely. It makes them look weak. It makes things look insecure. But again, we're not looking at the Taliban. We're not looking like what we witnessed over the previous 20 years, where the Taliban had this insurgency that was growing and gathering territory and building and being able to field armies in a small way. The Islamic State's operating at a very different level. It's a dangerous level, but it's not one that I think threatens the Afghan Taliban's rule on the country.
And any evidence, Bill, of al-Qaeda in Kabul, the denial by the Taliban dates back many months, if not years, but there's no reason anymore to continue to deny the obvious. Have they talked about it?
So I'll take a contrarian view. There's lots of evidence of al-Qaeda in Kabul, and I'd say look no further than Sirajuddin Haqqani, who the United Nations this spring identified as an al-Qaeda leader. Sirajuddin Haqqani, of course, is a deputy emir of the Taliban, and he's their interior minister, arguably the most powerful individual in the Taliban government. And the head of the Haqqani network, of course, and it's so look at him and look at his underlings. So there's other Taliban who are not Haqqanis who are closely linked to al-Qaeda, who the U.S. military used to describe as dual-hatted al-Qaeda Taliban leaders. These are leaders that commanded forces or operated as leaders within both groups. Now, if we're talking about core al-Qaeda, you know, despise that term, al-Qaeda's senior leadership, we haven't seen evidence of that because they're operating clandestinely as they have in the past. Right after Kabul fell and the Afghan government was deposed and the Taliban took control, we saw one or two instances of legacy al-Qaeda leaders returning to their homes with Taliban parades. But the Taliban clamped down on that, they didn't allow al-Qaeda to return to their homes or do things like that. They just didn't stop publicizing it because it made them look bad. But I have no doubt that al-Qaeda is quite happy with what has transpired. I know because they've said so. And without a doubt, al-Qaeda leaders are filtering back into Afghanistan from both Pakistan and Iran because the country is now a safe haven for them.
Al-Qaeda, this is CNN reporting, your report at Long War Journal as well. An airstrike in northwest Syria Friday killed senior al-Qaeda leader Abdul Hamid al-Matar, according to U.S. Central Command. No indications of civilian casualties as a result of the strike, said U.S. CENTCOM, using an MQ-9 drone. Bill, there's nothing else attached to this, but it suggests that the U.S. policy, at least, remains using drone airstrikes against al-Qaeda leadership operating throughout the area, throughout the Middle East. Is there any other way to interpret the claim of a senior al-Qaeda leader? I don't believe we've had a martyr tape yet.
No, and we probably won't, not for some time, if at all. A lot of times al-Qaeda has been just kept quiet about who their leadership is, where they've been killed. They used to celebrate these types of things years ago. Sometime we may see it, we may not. I mean, who was Abdul Hamid al-Matar? We don't know. It's the first time I've seen his name. What was his position? They call him a senior al-Qaeda leader. What was his position? Was he involved in external operations? Was he a field commander? Was he, you know? But to your point, and this is how we're back to the 1990s. We're back to launching attacks via air against terrorist organizations. But this doesn't deny them the key, what they need to succeed. And that's safe haven. That's, controlling territory, being able to run training camps and being able to recruit and indoctrinate and all of the things that made, you know, the 9/11 Commission report is very clear about this. So we're basically back to, playing whack-a-mole with al-Qaeda because the reality is there's tens of thousands of al-Qaeda fighters in Syria, in Idlib province in Syria, which is a safe haven for them. And Abdul Hamid al-Matar will be replaced. Al-Qaeda has thousands upon thousands of veteran leaders. I'm just talking about leaders here that can be promoted to take his place. Will it hurt them? Maybe in the short term. Well, it might make life difficult for them. They have to consider dealing with things like, you know, personal security and operational security and things like that. But they've been dealing with this for the past 20 years. I mean, al-Qaeda's leadership supposedly was decimated in northwestern Pakistan. And yet Al-Qaeda, as an organization, has only grown since 9/11, has opened up new branches and commands armies to wage insurgencies in multiple countries in Africa, the Middle East, and South Asia.
Bill Rajow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's Long War Journal. To Bill's point, there is a report by Caleb Weiss of the FTD. Al-Qaeda field commander reported killed in Mali, reported killed. A man who's said to have been part of the Group for Support of Islam and Muslims, which is acronym JNIM. This is a French operation. We don't know more than the fact that the French are claiming the kill. However, from Mali to Syria to Afghanistan, you understand Al-Qaeda is busy recruiting with replaceable parts. Bill Rajow, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, keeping the Long War Journal. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.